Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. If I can start out a little depressing, but here's what's been depressing me lately. Ever since Roe versus Wade has fallen, it's become clear how pro-abortion America has become. And here in Minnesota, anyway, we have to sit through these horrible pro-abortion TV commercials. And then to see how very pro-transgender and homosexual the media has become. To think of all the school shootings and the mass shootings and pornography all over America and the world now, I get depressed by these things. But then I got to sing to myself that old hymn. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. That's a reference to the second coming of Christ when He returns and makes everything right. Do you remember when you first heard about the second coming of Christ? I think I do. I was 7 years old, sitting in Sunday school class, and the teacher said that one day God will come down in the clouds and end the world. And then a few years later, I'm 13, sitting in confirmation class, and our Lutheran pastor taught the second coming. Jesus comes down in the clouds, raises the dead, judges the world, and takes us to heaven. And so I early on got this, but I learned in high school, not every church teaches this. I had a friend who went to a very liberal congregational church in high school, and one day he and I are talking. I said, well, when Jesus comes back, and he stops me, what? I said, well, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back? And he'd been raised in the church and had never heard this. Well, just in case somebody watching this program doesn't know about the second coming of Jesus Christ, we are devoting 4 weeks to the second coming of Christ. Today, we're going to talk about the preceding events, what happens before Christ returns. Then, next week, we will talk about the return of Christ itself and the resurrection of the dead. Third week, we will talk about what will happen on Judgment Day. And then fourth and finally, we'll talk about heaven and hell. So somebody said, Christians are not waiting for the undertaker. We are waiting for the uptaker. So let's see today what happens before the uptaker comes. Let's pray first. Father, we pray now in these difficult days in which we live, You will just thrill our hearts to know that one day we're going to win, Jesus will return, and teach us now, Lord, what will happen at the end times. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the second coming, let me just make a couple preliminary comments. Number one, be humble about the details. I mean, think how wrong we got the first coming of Christ. The Jews thought when Christ would come, He would destroy Pontius Pilate, kill the Romans, and set up His kingdom in Jerusalem. It didn't happen. He got crucified instead. So have a lot of grace toward people who don't believe in the second coming in exactly the same way you do when it comes to the details. For instance, I knew a dear Christian pastor who was a strong believer in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That is, that 7 years before the second coming, all the Christians disappear from earth and go to heaven. I don't believe that, but he did. And he brought in a prophecy teacher to preach that at our church. And I'm sitting there inwardly shaking my head. And then the prophecy teacher said, well, you know, if you don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, well, then maybe you'll just be left behind. And I thought,
talk
about manipulating the crowd. No, listen, if you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, or if you're like me and you don't, doesn't mean you're not saved. So be humble about this. And the second thing I want to say before we talk about the preliminary events, beware of predicting the day. Jesus said in Matthew 24, of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So way back in 1988, there was a man by the name of Edgar Wisenat. He wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. Nothing happened. He had the nerve to write a second book, Rapture Report 1989, and he predicted the rapture in 1989. It didn't happen. So one more time, he wrote a book in 1993. 23 reasons why a pre-tribulation rapture looks like it will occur in 1993. Well, he died in 2001, and after him came Harold Camping, who had a very popular family radio hour, a Christian radio show, but he was off, and he taught that the churches are all in darkness, and if you want the truth, you have to listen to his radio show. He predicted the second coming of Christ would be in 2011. Nothing happened. Harold Camping died in 2013. So my point is, be careful about all this. I'll use my sinful self as an example. I was 14 years old. I had a dream. In the dream, I saw Jesus. And Jesus said, God's time will come in 18 years. I woke up. 18 years from me being in ninth grade, 1986. When 1986 came, I was on my toes. What happened? Absolutely nothing. And that's when I learned dreams come from one of three places: God, the devil, or pizza. So be careful about all this. So be humble, be careful. Now let's begin. What will happen before the second coming of Christ? Number one, false prophets will appear. Jesus said in Mark 13, see that no one lead you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. Do we have false prophets? In 1805, Joseph Smith was born and founded the Mormon religion. I think he was a false prophet. In 1852, Charles Russell was born. He founded the Jehovah's Witnesses. He was a false prophet. In 1821, Mary Baker Eddy was born. She founded the Christian Science religion. She was a false prophet. In 1920, in Korea, the Reverend Sung Myung Moon was born, claiming to be the second coming of Christ. He died in 2012. He was a false prophet. I remember arguing with some, what they called them, the Moonies, the Unification Church, and they were claiming that the Reverend Moon is the second coming of Christ. I said, wait a minute. When Jesus said when he comes back, he'll come down on the clouds, raise the dead, judge the world, and then end this universe. Until the Reverend Moon does A, B, C, and D, he's a $3 bill. I think the New Age teachers, like Eckhart Tolle, who Oprah loves, I think they're false prophets. They teach that we are the Christ. No, we're not. So beware of false prophets, but here's what's really sad. The false prophets used to be out there. Now they've invaded the church. The church has false prophets within it. I mean, if you watch the show, you've heard me preach on this. Never in the history of the church has the church endorsed abortion, transgenderism, homosexuality. Now we have denominations that are doing that. And I'll say it again. The head bishop of the liberal evangelical Lutheran Church in America was asked by a Chicago newspaper, is there a hell? And she said, there may be, but I think it's empty. We have false prophets running some denominations today. So, and this right off the press. Duke Divinity School is a United Methodist seminary. Recently, at a worship service co-hosted by Duke Divinity School and Duke's Gay Pride student organization, they held a service in which students were invited to pray to God as the Great Queer One. The lesbian prayer praised God as the strange one, the fabulous one, the fluid and ever-becoming one? The United Methodists? So that's what's tragic. Today, the false prophets are in some formerly biblical denominations. Next preceding event. The gospel will be preached to all nations. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Well, has this happened yet? Has every nation got a missionary? I think we're close, but maybe not, because then I read this recently. There are still over 6,000 people groups with over 2 billion people in them who have not yet been reached by the gospel. So, maybe not. Third preliminary event, the conversion of the Jews. The Apostle Paul was Jewish. Of course, he was a Christian as well. He writes this in Romans chapter 11. "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel," that's the Jews, "until the fullness of Gentiles," that's the non-Jews, "has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved." Paul is saying a lot of Jews will come to faith in Christ before the second coming. So if you see Jews for Jesus getting to be a huge deal, I think that would be an indicator. Next preceding event to the second coming of Christ, the Antichrist will appear. The chapter for this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul warns the Thessalonians who'd been taught by some false teachers that the second coming had already happened, and he wrote this, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a letter or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the Lord of day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. That day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness," that's the Antichrist, "is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God." So before Christ returns, the Antichrist will appear. But again, be careful about all this. I'm a Lutheran. Martin Luther believed in the 1500s that the Pope was the Antichrist. During World War II, a lot of people thought Hitler was the Antichrist. When I was in college in the 1970s, people were saying Henry Kissinger is the Antichrist because the numbers, the letters of his name in numerology add up to 666. Well, be careful. But you know, in a little way, maybe Martin Luther and World War II Christians were right, because it says this in 1 John 2. "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come." In other words, one day the big Antichrist, capital A, will come, but before him come many small a Antichrists. Next thing to say about preliminary events, the Antichrist will be worshipped. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2, "He takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." People will worship the Antichrist. And if you think this sounds unfeasible, well, the ancient Romans worshipped the emperor as God. The Moon Church, the Unification Church, worshipped the Reverend Moon as the second coming of Christ. So this kind of thing will happen again. Next, the Antichrist will then compel submission. If you don't follow the Antichrist and receive his mark, people won't trade with you. They won't allow you to buy food. It will be difficult. And then, next event, the second coming of Christ brings an end to the Antichrist. We get this from 2 Thessalonians 2. "And then the lawless one," the Antichrist, "will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming." There's a final battle coming called the Battle of Armageddon, the great battle between good and evil. When it's raging and the Antichrist is power, Christ returns and destroys the Antichrist. But it will be a rough time. Jesus said this in Matthew 24, Then there shall be great tribulation, such as there has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, nor ever shall be. Revelation 13 says, it was allowed, the Antichrist was allowed, to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. So the Antichrist will persecute the church and kill Christians. But it then says this, Revelation 15, I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those, the Christians, who had conquered the beast and the Antichrist with its image and the number of its name, they were standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands, and they sing. So even if the Antichrist kills you, you're still going to win because you'll be around the throne praising the Lord. But the point of the book of Revelation is do not follow the Antichrist because he's going to lose at the second coming. But again, I'll say this. I think it will be hard to be a Christian in the very last days. It's been hard before. If you know the history of the church, the first 300 years of Christianity, the Roman Empire boiled us in oil. They threw us to the lions. It was rough to be a Christian the first 300 years. I think it's coming back. Let me read this to you. I just read this in my Persecution magazine. Excuse me, I gotta get it. Here we go. This is just out recently. This is Uganda. The Muslim community found out when Tamer was converted and baptized. He was chased away with his family of four, and his house was destroyed. A local pastor is currently taking care of him, trying to find him a home. A second Christian convert, Solomon, and his family of five are in hiding after he left his teaching position in a local Muslim mosque and he gave his life to Christ. Currently, his Muslim friends and family are hunting him down to kill him for converting to Christ. Michael, another local imam, that's a Muslim leader, and his wife were baptized together after converting to Christ. When the Muslim leaders who had been training him realized his conversion, they began to threaten his family. He also is currently being hunted down by Muslim elders who invested in his training, and he risks being killed. Oof. So let's review. What happens before Christ returns in the clouds at the second coming? Number one, false prophets appear. Number two, the gospel will be preached to all the nations. Number three, the Jews will be converted. Number four, not every single Jew, but there'll be a large conversion of Jews. And number four, the Antichrist appears. He'll be worshipped. He'll compel submission, but he is destroyed at the second coming of Christ. One last point. Maybe this is the most important point. The important thing is to endure to the end. Jesus said in Mark 13, he who endures, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. I had a friend say, Pastor Brock, I was so upset. I went to my uncle's funeral. Godless man, had no time for God or the church, but the pastor said, we know he's in heaven. Because he was baptized as a baby. Is that right, Pastor Brock? And I said, no. I mean, I'm a Lutheran. I believe in infant baptism. But let me tell you the Lutheran heresy. You get baptized, you're saved. You got your ticket, no matter what. Or the Baptist heresy isn't any better. You pray the prayer, you ask Jesus in your heart, you're saved no matter what. No. Jesus says, he who endures to the end will be saved. And I want to close with this. Back in the 1700s, Captain Cook and his men were trying to reach the North Pole. Dr. Solander was a Swedish expert naturalism, nature, and he accompanied them. Suddenly, the men are very far from camp. A horrible wind comes, a horrible snowstorm. Solander gathered the men around him and he said, I have some experience of this in Sweden, but you have had none. Listen to my advice. Upon it your lives depend. We must resolutely set our faces to get back to camp. with never a stop, for the danger lies in falling asleep. I warn you that you men, your blood as it grows cold, you'll ask permission to rest. We will not permit it. We must urge you on with blows if necessary. Remember, the first symptom of the blood refusing to circulate is to sleep. Don't yield to it. To yield is death. The party pressed on. Every one of them made him back to camp. I hope you're baptized. I hope you're confirmed. I hope you believe in Christ. But just getting baptized, just getting confirmed, just praying and asking Jesus into your heart, no. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. I've been a pastor for many years, and I can tell you that it grieves me of all the 14-year-olds that I've confirmed who get up in front of the church and say, I'm going to follow Christ. A year later, maybe half of them are still in church. No. He who endures to the end will be saved. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, Can false prophets do miracles?
They can, believe it or not. It says this in 2 Thessalonians 2 about this Antichrist. He comes by the activity of Satan with all power and false wonders and signs and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so are saved. So Satan can do miracles, false miracles, but miracles. I remember, Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science. I remember a lady that I was sharing the gospel with, and she was convinced Christian Science is true because it's healed her father. And if you remember the old TV show Ripley's Believe It or Not, They had psychic healers on that show who supposedly would put your hands inside the body. It was weird. Satan can do miracles. And just because somebody can do a miracle does not believe they mean they are from God. The reason I think Mary Baker Eddy was not from God is because she contradicted Scripture. She said she was a Christian, but she didn't believe sin existed. If there's no sin, why did Jesus die on the cross? So, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to know the Scriptures.
You got to know the Word of God. Are there different degrees of rewards in heaven?
Well, we're all saved by grace alone, but there are different degrees of reward. And here's a story. Don't take this literally. A rich woman and her chauffeur go to heaven. St. Peter takes them in the gates, and he shows her her home, which is this nice little cottage by the side of the road. And she looks across, and here's this huge mansion on the hill. Well, St. Peter says, "Lady, this is where you're going to live in this little cottage." She says, "Well, who gets to live up there?" "Well, that's for your chauffeur." "My chauffeur?" And he said, "Yes, madam, we build your home up here with the materials you sent ahead of us while you were on earth." In other words, when you live for Christ, you'll get greater rewards. That's a kind of a crass illustration. It's not going to be the size of your mansion. But there are differing degrees of reward in heaven. Again, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting. What are the various rewards that are in heaven?
I that's not answered. So I don't know that we know what the difference is between you and me in heaven. Just to get in the gates by the grace of God is going to be enough. But there are different rewards.
Okay. Let's see. What are the... I read that. They refuse to love the truth and be saved. Okay. Yep. I don't know. Who has been the worst false prophet in world history?
I'm giving you my opinion. I think the worst, the largest religion on earth, if you include all the Orthodox Catholics, all the Protestants, and the largest single religion is Christianity. Do you know what the second largest religion is? Islam. And in 570 AD, Muhammad was born. I think he's the greatest false prophet in world history because he led the most number of people astray. Millions of people believe in Islam. And so I would say it's him. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Who are the modern-day false prophets?
Well, I'll list them. Muhammad, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Science, New Age teachers. So those would all be false prophets. The Unity Church is bad. Now, Then we talked about the false prophets within the churches. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the ELCA Lutheran Church, the PCUSA Presbyterian Church, the United Church of Christ, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church in America, and more recently the Reformed Church in America, and even one branch of the Mennonites have all gone pro-gay, pro-transgender, some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them teaching there's no hell, all this stuff. Now, all those denominations still have definite believers in them, mm-hmm. and Christian pastors, but some of these churches are the worst at the top, the leadership, mm-hmm. and so you just got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is Armageddon?
If you read the book of Revelation, there's this big final battle coming at the mm-hmm. end of time between the forces of God and the forces of the Antichrist and Satan, and they have this big battle. And then Jesus comes and wipes out the Antichrist and restores his truth. And he sets up his kingdom. And that's the last battle.
Last battle.
Yeah.
Okay. Will Christians go through the tribulation? Doesn't the Bible say that God has not destined us to wrath?
Yeah. The Christians who believe in what's called the pre-tribulation rapture, they believe 7 years before the Christ returns, all the Christians disappear and go to heaven. I don't believe that. But the verse they quote is from 1 Thessalonians 5. God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation. Mm-hmm. So we won't go through the tribulation. My response is, we're not going to get the wrath of God. We're mm-hmm. going to heaven. Mm-hmm. I think that simply means we're going to be saved from hell. Does that mean Christians won't go through persecution? If you ask the Christians in North Korea, what do you mean, mm-hmm. will we go through tribulation? We're going through it right now. Mm-hmm. So I believe Christians are here till the second coming.
That's, okay.
Yeah.
Where are Christians being persecuted today?
The Muslim lands are where it's the worst. We're talking Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Indonesia. And then you've got the atheist regime of North Korea. These are places where it's very difficult to be a Christian. Uganda is mm-hmm. is hunting down Christians. The Muslims in Uganda are persecuting the church in Uganda. So, yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah.
How do I know that I won't deny Christ?
Yeah.
Especially under persecution.
Yeah, and the only way you don't know until it happens, but you can do this much. You mm-hmm. can pray, Lord, and I do this, I pray this regularly, Lord, help me die before I would deny you.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that for Christians in North Korea. Lord, may they die before they would deny you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pray this, but Lord, if I blow it or if they blow it, give us chance to repent and forgive us and take us back. Like Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. He mm-hmm. repented and he came back. But I'd rather die than have mm-hmm. to do that. I'd rather just go to be with, yeah, gotta die anyway. Why not die for the Lord?
And you would hope so. But under, you know, torture, you just never know.
You gotta pray for the Holy Spirit's grace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to give us a little update? We're
well,
almost out of time.
Just thank you so much. A lot of people write us and tell us they pray regularly for our show, and then lots of people financially support us. And so if the Lord would nudge you to help us stay on the air, you can support us at thepastorstudy.org or send a letter. But God be with you. See you next week.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.